In today's episode, we take a foray into the world of Warhammer 40,000 and how best to sink your teeth into this wonderful hobby, as well as hearing from host Mike Bask about his history within the Warhammer 40,000 universe and community. That's all coming up on the Objective Secured Briefing. Objective Secured Podcast. My name's Mike Bask. Thank you very much for joining us today on our first ever podcast. For those of you who may already be familiar with me, you'll have heard me on World's End Radio, and I've done a couple of guest spots on some other podcasts based in the 40k universe. Splinter Mind's the first one that springs to mind. This podcast is going to be like those and dedicated to all things Warhammer 40,000 and its various spin-offs and expansions, from the tabletop games, the computer games, mobile device games, books, movies, audio, pretty much anything you can think of that's related to Warhammer 40,000, we're going to be intending to cover. So just sit back, relax. I hope you enjoy episode one. I'm going to give you a quick history of who I am and what we're going to be doing with these episodes going forwards before we get stuck into our main topic for tonight. So let's kick it off, I suppose. For those of you that may have listened to me on other podcasts, obviously there's nothing to be too much great news or new news here, but for those that don't know me, I've been playing Warhammer 40,000 in some form or another for the better part of 25 years or more these days. I remember Rogue Trader way back in the late 80s and very early 90s when second edition rolled out, and I've been playing pretty much every edition ever since. I've played pretty much all the spin-offs and expansions as well, from Inquisitor, Battlefleet Gothic, Necromunda, more recently the Horus Heresy 30k, as it's better known, as well as Kill Team and Combat Patrol and all the other little various spin-offs of Warhammer 40,000. And 40k has always been a game that's really grabbed my attention in regards to its themes and its aesthetics and the narrative that they built up very early in the 80s and 90s. And as it's grown and evolved, it's only grabbed me more and more and more as my gaming career has gone on. Over those 25 years, I've played a lot of different armies for a lot of different game systems. Primarily, though, I always come back to my Eldar. I've got a fairly significant collection of Eldar, including some Armorcast Titans from the 80s, and I've got more recent Forge World Revenants, and a lot of painted Eldar. A lot. Something like 20-plus thousand points without my big Titans and toys, alongside about 8,000 points of painted Dark Eldar, and a couple of thousand points of Harlequins as well. And the point is, I'm an elf through and through. I've always loved the elven aesthetic and the style and the poise at which they like killing people in the games, as much as Tolkien's Lord of the Rings and other more traditional fantasy setting elves. But the Eldar have always done it for me because they get all the technology that goes with it as well. I've played them for 40k. I've played them in Battlefleet Gothic. I've played them in the various Kill Team spin-offs and those sorts of things, and they're always the first race I take if given the option for a computer game as well. I play Vansar primarily for Necromunda alongside the Spira gangs. Again, it's all tech related for me. I really love the options for customization and tinkering with the tech that the Vansar in particular give. But when we move into 30k, my love sits firmly for the Traitors. I tend to play World Eaters and Word Bearers, Space Marines. Gal Vorbach, the Serrated Sun in particular, really grabbed my attention when Aaron Dimsky-Bowden produced First Heretic, and the love only grew when I got to read Betrayer for those two legions. That being said, I do play other stuff in and around the game. My 40k collection is fairly extensive these days. I have Space Wolves, I have Sisters of Battle, I have Necrons, I have Knights, I have Skitarii, I have Dark Angels, I have Chaos Space Marines, I have Khorne Demonkin. I have pretty much most of the armies these days. I've got a small contingent of Orcs. I had some Guard. They're no longer with us. And some Nids, again, no longer with us, although I do have the beginnings of a Genestealer cult these days, way back from Rogue Trader, and again with the new Overkill box set. So my experience with 40K is fairly extensive. Combined with all that gaming over those seven editions that we've had now of Warhammer 40,000, I've hosted many different events across the years. My first being back in about 2000, and I want to say 2004, I think is my best guess, with some smaller games hosted at a club here locally called Outpost 6030, through to my first Rogue Trader tournament in 2005, and then sporadically over the years, right up until present day when I'm preparing for my next event. So I've seen tournaments at every edition of the game, starting with Third, which was our first formal tournament organised here in Perth, Western Australia, which is where I'm based. And I've won events, without meaning to boast too much, across all those editions of the game as well. Starting with Third Edition with my Beltane Eldar, Demon Hunters in Fourth Edition, moving back to Eldar in Fifth Edition, and Sixth Edition certainly, and then into Seventh Edition with Dark Eldar, Chaos Space Marines as well. So I do have a lot of familiarity with competitive gaming as much as fun narrative gaming, which primarily I get those kicks these days from my Horus Heresy games with my friends. I was fortunate enough to join the Australian ETC team in 2012 and fly to Poland to play as the Dark Eldar player for the Australian team, which was a massively fun experience. One that I hope to repeat, maybe not with Dark Eldar, but I hope to repeat again in the near future playing for the Australian team again. If you ever get the chance to do a road trip, they are by far and large my favourite events. The ability to go away with your friends and make new friends on the way and play 40K. It doesn't matter what languages you speak, you've got a common ground there. And the guys who travel and spend that money to travel to play 40K are always very cool guys. I've been fortunate to captain the West Australian team for the Australian Team Challenge for the last 3 years, in 2014, 2015, and again this year in 2016. 2016 is still a couple of months away yet, so we'll see how we do there. But we've had some fairly reasonable results against the other states, and we're hoping to improve on those this year again. I really do enjoy those travel events. I've done it with one friend, I've done it with a group of eight friends with the West Australian trip, and I'm doing it again next year in 2017. I'm heading to the Las Vegas Open in February. So that'll be another completely new experience because while there will be some other guys from WA coming, none of them are really close friends for me at the moment, and I'm hoping to obviously make some new close friends for that trip. I'm also bringing my wife and kids with me for that one, so that'll be a really interesting experience for them to see one of the biggest tournaments in the world running. And we're hoping to take some of the ideas that the LVO have done so successfully and roll them out here into Western Australia and the events that we run. Moving on to more recent years, I founded Objective Secured last year in 2015. Somewhere around June or July, I believe it's June, was when I wrote my first blog post. The blog quickly turned into a more formal website, although it still does still feel like a blog and it's still something I post on like it was a blog. The goal for it, though, has changed considerably, and it's gone from me being able to express my hobby and things in a virtual environment and share it with the world to a point of contact for the West Australian gaming community. And I hope it's not coming across that it's the be-all and end-all for that, but it is certainly something that I've tried to cultivate and get the community back together. We've had a few rough years for Warhammer 40,000 locally, and I think it's fair to say around the world we've had a bumpy ride with some of the challenges that Games Workshop's put in our communities. But certainly the goal last year and moving into 2016 has been to cultivate and foster community. And that's been the whole goal of Objective Secured since we launched it. We've run the first West Australian Masters event where we sold 70 tickets for the event. And it's the single largest 40K, or as far as I'm aware, any game system that's ever run a single player event in Western Australia, which was awesome. We basically didn't have enough room to host everyone, and we were really worried a few days out as to what we were going to do. Fortunately, the event went off, I'd say without a hitch, but that'd be a lie. We did a lot of stuff in the background that made it the success it was. And since then, we've hit the ground running for 2016 and haven't looked back. And we've had a few hurdles to cover along the road, but by and large, the events have been very successful. We've done a road trip and visited Albany, which is about 4.5 hours south of Perth, where we're based. And got to help integrate the Albany boys into the Perth community and made some new friends and had a really good weekend for another very easy road trip to do. The support that we aim to provide the community is going forward in particular is going to be one of a nexus of Warhammer 40,000, giving them a point of contact. We're hoping to open some forums on the website shortly for WA players to communicate and talk about 40K. We've got a Facebook page that allows public posting for people to share their ideas and what they've been working on, and really trying to support and foster that community and educate and inspire hobbyists from around Western Australia and around the world, for those who follow us from Europe or America or anywhere else in the world. It's always great to get international guests visiting the website and the Facebook group and sharing their ideas. We have a small engagement that's growing every day on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. We try and publish as much as we can to social media, because certainly in my experience, it's where I get a lot of my gaming information and news these days. And we try and keep it relevant and on topic. And we're lucky that we've been able to work out some automation that posts a lot of the stuff that we put on the blog straight to Facebook, which I'm sure doesn't come as any revelation for most people. But it's certainly been an experience for me to learn a lot of that back-end coding. Thankfully, I'm blessed with technology these days that does a lot of it for me. So that's good. Along the way as well, we've produced a few products for Objective Secured. We've produced the Objective Secured app, the scoring app. Now, that's found on iOS at the moment. We're hoping to put it on Android very shortly. And we've got a bunch of updates that we're hoping on including in those updates very shortly, primarily from feedback directly from gamers about what they'd like to see the app do. It's certainly been received very well by the people that have been using it. And it's one that we want to keep growing and cultivating, because we've got some big plans for it in the future. We've also produced the tabletop prep guide for preparing for tournaments. It's available on the web store on our website. And it's basically my experiences of getting ready for tournaments over about 40 pages of notes and information. And for $5 Australian, it's not an expensive buy, but hopefully the feedback, if you do choose to buy it, will be very positive and hopefully give you some ideas. We've had some really good feedback from local gamers who have picked it up. And it's been an interesting experience just putting everything that's in my head down on paper, and I'm sure I've still forgotten the things, so I'm sure there'll be an addendum or an update in the near future. The last thing we've just recently done is looking at further community support and looking at apparel and team jumpers and, you know, really trying to foster that community when people go to tournaments. So I've been organising team jerseys for the West Australian team, for the Australian Team Championship now for a couple of years. And we had some feedback from players coming to the OBSEC events that wanted their, you know, them and their friends to wear the same colours and the same jerseys. So we've opened that up and we've engaged a supplier. And now we're happy to offer Objective Secured hoodies and t-shirts. And we've already sold the first few, and we're hoping to get those out to players in the next week or so. And it's really exciting that guys really want to be attached to the brand and be part of the community so fervently that they're willing to put my logo on their shirts to wear to tournaments. It's pretty cool. Lastly, I suppose the other part of this podcast in particular, and a special thanks for a couple of people, needs to go out firstly to my darling wife, who you'll hear me speak about on the podcast regularly. Emma's been a driving force behind me getting off my sore and sorry bum and actually getting this podcast off the ground, among other things within OBSEC. And she's a constant source of inspiration and energy, and I certainly couldn't be doing anything with OBSEC, whether it's running tournaments or producing this podcast, without her. So she deserves my thanks and gratitude more than anyone else. There's a few other people who along the way who've certainly been a big part of my hobby and my growth. Luke Ritalik, who has co-hosted World's End Radio now for 8 years, I believe it is. We just recorded another episode a couple of days ago. And he's helped me with all the podcasting stuff in the background. He and I have known each other for years now, way back from third edition 40K, when he was a staffer at one of the Games Workshops here. And he's been instrumental in, I suppose, supporting me from a gamer's point of view with some of the stuff that we've been trying to achieve and that we're aiming to achieve in the coming months and years. Some of my very close friends who will no doubt end up being guest hosts at some point in time on this podcast: Brett Warhurst, Richard Owen, Mitch Byrne, Pete Platel, the guys on the ATC team. There's numerous guys in Perth who are all top blokes who genuinely have always been open and honest with me and helped me keep things on the straight and narrow and try and produce the best events we can. And I trust them to give me the feedback I need to keep growing and doing things better. So thanks to those guys. And I suppose a special mention also needs to go to a good friend of mine, Tim, who basically started this whole thing for me back in the late 80s or early 90s with Rogue Trader. He's the guy who and my earliest gaming memories was the one who found the cheesiest things in the rule book and took us to town with them. He's the guy who made us laugh with some of the exploits of his orcs. He's the guy that really inspired, teenage Mike to go out and get involved in the hobby. And to this day, while he and I don't play as often as we would certainly like to, we can still pick up and play a game of 30K or 40K like it was yesterday and still enjoy ourselves. So a special mention needs to go to Tim for getting me introduced to this all those years ago and still gaming with me to this day, 25 plus years later. So look, I hope that's a sort of a brief idea of who I am and where I've been. And going forward, the podcast is going to be covering a huge range of topics. We're going to be looking at 40K lore and history, the different editions throughout the years. We'll be doing codex reviews. We'll be doing a whole raft of different reviews on products and kits. We're going to be looking at Forge World. We're going to be looking at Black Library. We're going to really be delving into all the different aspects of 40K. And if you've got an idea for a topic, by all means, send it through, and we'll definitely look at it and put it on the agenda. If you've got a topic that you'd like to talk with me about and be a guest presenter, I'm more than happy to have people get in touch. You can email us at obsec@optusnet.com.au. You can get us on Facebook, Objective Secured, or you can come to the website and use the Contact Us page and get in touch that way. I'm more than happy to have people come on with a topic that they want to talk about and chew the fat with them and have another member of the community get involved, because ultimately this podcast is for you, the community, and it's about engaging the community and giving you guys a voice. So if you want to talk with me on any topic, by all means, get in touch. In the meantime, though, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll get delved into the first topic for the Objectives of Your podcast. So here we are with the first topic for the Objectives Secured podcast. This is Briefing 1, Incursion. And it's how to enter Warhammer 40,000 today as a new gamer. Now, this is an interesting question, and it's one that I've seen crop up fairly regularly on a lot of the internet forums. And it's how do I start with 40K? Now, the way I started all those years ago is going to be very different to a new user's experience today. Because back when I started, you barely get hold of miniatures in a rulebook, let alone anything else. And the level of support that's offered now through local gaming stores and Games Workshop itself is significantly increased compared to the late 80s and early 90s in Australia in particular. So, I got started with a handful of blister packs and a shared copy of the Rogue Trader rulebook between four or five of us. And, we half made up the rules on the fly and we took photocopies from Citadel Journal and it was a really rough and ready way to play the game, and it was always a lot of fun because we weren't so caught up in some of the nuances of the rules like the internet has allowed us to be these last few years in particular. So in terms of how is it different to now, now it's far more accessible for the average consumer to get into Warhammer 40,000, particularly Warhammer, the 40K, the core game. We've now got core box sets and the start collecting box sets. We've got stores you can go to learn the games, and we had none of that. Back in the earlier editions, we didn't really have a Games Workshop locally until about third edition here in Western Australia. So the barriers to entry have been significantly reduced over the years just to get in and play the game. Now, that's not saying there aren't any barriers to entry, but we'll talk about those in a little bit. I mentioned a few of the ways you can start your Warhammer 40,000 experience already. The start collecting box in 7th edition is called Dark Vengeance, and it gives you two perfectly serviceable small forces of Space Marines and Chaos Space Marines to learn the rules. It gives you the full rule book and the dice and the templates and all the other bits and pieces. And for the price that you pay, if you're just starting out, it's a great place to start. It's certainly the most cost-efficient way to start and learn the game. The other option, which they've only just released, which I'm really a big fan of, are the start collecting boxes. And these boxes are essentially little formations in a box. So generally speaking, they're a cool unit, a core unit, and a general or a hero of some kind to lead the force. And then they give you a little set of rules that you take and use on the table in that certain combination. So those little detachments tend to be fairly well balanced in terms of points and balance on a 1v1 game. And they're a great way to start if you've got a little bit of extra money and you're willing to buy one of them with a friend buying a different one and then buying a rule book and the codex is required separately. it is a more expensive investment, but it does mean you get miniatures that you want without having to buy Dark Vengeance for the rulebook and have a couple of starter boxes and stuff floating around, which only increases your cost. That being said, the cost of the rulebooks means that you're almost better off buying Dark Vengeance most of the time anyway, because it does give you the dice and the templates and all the core rules alongside those two forces. So I don't think you can go too far wrong with Dark Vengeance these days. Interestingly, I don't own Dark Vengeance myself, but I suppose that's the result of being such a long-term collector that I was only really interested in the rulebook and didn't need the miniatures. Alongside, if you're going to go down that road of start collecting boxes, you will need to grab the rulebook and the relevant codexes for the armies that you pick. And that's, you know, that's another investment. If you've got an iPad or some other tablet, you can often get the digital copies of those rules for a reduced price. And certainly in Australia, I know plenty of guys who will go and get an iTunes card at a discount from a retailer and then use that to get the discounted iPad editions of the codexes and rulebooks. So, you know, that's a fairly easy way to get access to all the rules and codexes through iTunes or through Google Plus. My biggest suggestion, though, for anyone wanting to start the game is pick models you like. And I know that sounds a bit obvious for any of us gamers who've been doing it a long time, but just simply buying Dark Vengeance to start playing is great just to get you in the game and playing. But ultimately, I think most people would go on to pick different armies than what's actually in Dark Vengeance. And if you've got the extra cash at the time of entry, spending the extra $100 per player means that you can pick the miniatures that really speak to you. And there's so many different armies for 40k that I'm sure that when you go to the racks of boxes or jump online and have a look at those boxes, there'll be an army there that appeals to you. And whether that's Eldar, whether that's Orcs, whether that's Space Marines, whether that's Necrons or Tau, the choices there are huge. And I think most people will garner more enjoyment from buying miniatures that they love the look of and they want to actively play with and assemble and paint. Then they're more likely to continue with the hobby and more likely to want to play the game and learn than they are just collecting Dark Vengeance and being saddled with an army that they go, yeah, that's kind of cool, and just playing it because they've got it. I think if you really want to get involved, the best way to do that is to pick something you love and you want to paint and want to play, and then, you know, do it the hard way. Some of those armies are quite hard to start with. Some of them are much easier. But I think you'll get more enjoyment out of playing with models that you love than you will just simply going the cheap option. Obviously, the last thing you probably need to organize with yourself is some of the basic assembly tools. You need a pair of clippers, a scalpel, and probably some plastic glue. Maybe even some super glue, depending on what miniatures you actually pick. Most of Games Workshop stuff these days is plastic, though. So a little pot of plastic glue, which most of this stuff you can get from any hobby shop. You don't necessarily need to buy the Games Workshop branded stuff. That being said, the Games Workshop stuff has a pretty decent success rate on it, and the products themselves are a decent quality. But there's nothing stopping you going to any hobby shop and buying a pair of nice, sharp, flat-edged cutters, a scalpel from a hardware store, and then a pot of plastic glue. They'll all can be completely serviceable for you to get stuck in and build these miniatures, and so you can start playing straight away. Paints can come later. If you're just interested in playing the game, there's nothing wrong with using the clippers and the glue and getting the models on the table. I think ultimately most people who get interested in this hobby want to be painting miniatures because they love the look of those models on the table when they are fully painted. And that's probably another topic entirely, just how to get started in painting. There's a lot of starter kits from Games Workshop that do an adequate job of giving you paints and brushes to get started with painting. A lot of it will be trial and error. And the fact that they do help you in store with Games Workshop painting staff to show you how to do some of the basic paint jobs is another boon as well. But ultimately, I suppose that's a topic for another day. One of the biggest hurdles that I hear in terms of getting into 40k is that it's really expensive. Now, cost's a funny thing, and it's always going to be subjective based on your own personal situation. I think cost is something that if you see value in it, the cost versus that value is going to be your return. And as long as that return is positive for what your outlay is, then whether that outlay is time or emotion or cash or any combination thereof, I think as long as the return you're getting out of it makes you feel like it's valuable, then you can't go too far wrong. And look, let's get right down to brass tacks in terms of dollars and cents. For me, I've got Eldar miniatures that I bought 20 years ago, the second edition, or I suppose they're the first casts, but they were released at the very start of second edition, tail end of first edition, Rogue Trader, Eldar Aspect Warriors. Now, those, way back when, were $14 for five Australian dollars. $14. And the Exarch was another $8 Australian for him. So you're talking $22 25 years ago. With inflation and all the rest of it, they're probably not $60-odd like they listed on the web store, but I don't think they'd be too far off. And those miniatures are still going strong. They've been repainted twice. And when you actually look at how many games I must have played with them over the years, and the joy that I've had out of putting them on the table and, you know, throwing them into a Death Company unit in the middle of a giant cathedral with a good with Tim, my good friend, and watching all these Aspect Warriors charge these Blood Angels, I think in terms of return on investment, I think I've got my money's worth out of those. And even the new miniatures today that I buy and work on, those miniatures see tables again and again and again for at least a couple of years before they go into semi-retirement, and they still come out periodically. And they're something that I can always come back to, and it's very rare to have anything completely removed from the game and outdated. Most of the time, they come back in some form. So I think the cost, like any luxury hobby, is always going to be subjective. You can do very small and elite 40k armies for a fairly low dollar investment, or you can do horde armies that'll cost you, you know, $1,000 or more Australian. In my experience, the average 40k army for 1500 to 1800 points is going to cost me somewhere between $500 and $700 Australian dollars. You can get online discounts. You can go to your local hobby stores. They'll often give you discounts. You can do it secondhand. There's a whole raft of ways you can reduce that cost. But ultimately, I think the value that you get out of that investment will far outweigh the cost that is felt on the back pocket in the short term. And look, you know, it's cheaper than a lot of the other luxury hobbies, regardless of what people might think. My best analogy, I love my car. I will quite happily spend money on my car if given half a chance. But I know full well that I could spend easily what I'd spend on 40k a year in one weekend at the workshop and be wanting to spend the same again the following week. So I suppose it's about keeping it in context. If it's your only hobby and, you know, you're a uni student or you're at college and you're working part-time and you don't really have a lot of time for anything other than one hobby, and you're spending a few dollars a week on paints and brushes and you're buying the odd model here and there and just playing with your friends, then you can make the hobby affordable and manageable so that you're not eating baked beans on toast for weeks at a time, or two-minute noodles, or you know, any of the other cheap and nasty foods that I'm sure we've all done as teenagers. Ultimately, though, it's going to come down to your own personal circumstance. And if cost is a factor for you, I would suggest that any luxury hobby that you're going to get involved in is going to be a no-no if cost is a big concern of yours. And pretty much any tabletop gaming system these days has an associated cost. And per miniature, yeah, Games Workshop is actually one of the cheaper. The difference is, obviously, with some Games Workshop armies, you do need quite a few miniatures. But I think the time and the value that you can get out of producing a well-painted or even a tabletop-painted army far outweighs any other the cost associated with producing those armies. So once you've got your army assembled and you've started looking at how you're going to play, well, where can you play? Obviously, you can play at home. That's the first and easiest one. Obviously, that also needs, though, a sibling or a parent or someone reasonably close who can play the game with you, because the game is a two-player game. Now, speaking of friends, you can obviously visit a friend's house. You could go to a local store, whether it's a local gaming store or whether it's a Games Workshop store. One of the advantages of a Games Workshop store is the iGames they do, where they take you through a very basic game of 40k using the Dark Vengeance box set. If you've never played the game before, I would thoroughly recommend you going into one of those stores and having a crack with it. In my experience, the staff are knowledgeable. They're willing to walk you through those games and answer questions for you. And I've always seen it is a valuable tool to have someone take you through it step by step and explain how things happen and why they happen, because I think that's the best way to learn. Clubs is another place, obviously, you can head to. Clubs can be a bit intimidating, particularly if you're a new gamer. You head into a club and there's all these people playing with these lovely painted armies and big armies. And asking someone to have an intro game with you can be quite daunting, particularly if you're not familiar with anyone in the room. I would suggest that going with a friend to a club and having a game there and wandering around and meeting people while you've got someone that you know and that you can play with is probably a nice safety net to have. But you know what? If you're feeling bold go down to one of the clubs, don't take an army, have a wander around, meet the guys, have a chat to them, organise a game, and come back the following week. I think you'll find most people who are passionate about 40k will be more than happy to give you an intro game. And as long as you set those expectations at the front and explain you are a new guy and that, you know, you're not looking to take hardcore tournament armies, I think most people will be inclined to give you a fair crack and teach you some of the nuances of the game and show you some of the hurdles that you have to overcome to learn some of the tricks of the trade. When you first start, the instinct is going to be to go big. And we all go through this. We will pick up a start collecting box, or back in the day they were Battle Forces, and it'll be a tank, it'll be a unit, it'll be a character, it might even be a special unit in there as well. And the urge at that point will be to go and then buy, rather than spending $100 or $200 on the kits, you'll go and spend $500 and you'll buy the whole army in one big go. And then you'll get it home and you'll open it all and you'll ooh and ah at the sprues and then you'll start building. And if you're like me, the building's fun. I really enjoy building models. But then you'll have a 1,500, 1,800, 2,000 point army sat on the table, and there'll be somewhere between 20 and 100 miniatures or more, potentially, on the table. And you look at them all and go, oh my God, where do I start? How do I get someone to play this? How do I paint this? How do I transport this? And it actually creates a few hurdles artificially just by doing that. My personal suggestion is start small. Those start collecting boxes are great. They give you a really nice introduction to the game that doesn't take long to play and that will let you learn the core rules of the game. And I think that's probably the best place to start. And once you've got those core boxes, which are normally anywhere from sort of 6 or 7 miniatures through to about 20, I think, is the biggest. Once you've got those all assembled and you've got some paint on them and you're feeling a bit more confident, then adding to those is perfect because they're really good cores to an army. And taking advice from forums or other people who already play the game at clubs, or going into a store and talking to the regulars there about what you could add to that formation will help you curb your spending and control your spending so that you're not wasting money on a unit that you potentially buy and then decide you don't like. You know, and the best part about those other sort of smaller style games, if you don't want to go down with one of those start collecting games, you can easily get into a kill team style game where you buy our box set and build a little infiltration team that you play with 5 or 6 miniatures against each other. You can go and buy one of the box games like Space Hulk or Betrayal at Kalth or Overkill or any of the other Games Workshop games where you do get those lovely multi-part miniatures and a board game on top of it all, so that you can get used to playing in that sort of more complex board game environment before you step into full-blown tabletop. There's a whole different way of approaching, depending on what you want to achieve and how much money you have to spend. There's a raft of different ways you can approach Warhammer 40,000 and get involved in the hobby very easily. Once you started small and you worked your way up a little bit, and you maybe you're playing at home for the first time or at your friend's house, one of the other hurdles that you'll encounter is all of a sudden you don't have a surface and terrain to play on. Now, this is a very common thing, and it's something that I don't think a lot of people think about when they first start playing, is they get it all home, they get it all assembled, and they go, hey, let's go and play on the dining table. Yeah, let's do that. And then they realize they've got no buildings to hide behind, no forests to hide in, and no hills to maneuver around and gain elevated firing points. And while that sounds a bit weird, it's completely true. So just a couple of little suggestions for you if you are just starting out and you want to have a table with some variation to it so you can start learning some of the rules around terrain and how you interact with it. The best way to gain hills and some elevated positions is to put some books on a table and then get a tablecloth and chuck that over the top, and you'll instantly create some vantage points for you to deploy heavy weapon teams or tanks, and you'll also then artificially create some valleys as well that infantry can hide in outside of line of sight. Any sort of cans or boxes can easily be turned into makeshift towers and structures for terrain. It's a very simple one to grab an old milk carton and cut that in half, and all of a sudden you've got a pair of silos, or grab a cereal box and cut it open, and all of a sudden you've got a ruined building. It's very simple to put some basic terrain on the table so you can start playing, albeit a very hodgepodge style, but it will give you the taste for the game and obviously start letting you learn the rules. I've even been to tournaments in the past where they've used a piece of artificial turf that they've cut down into roughly the shape of a kidney, that'd be 5 to 7 inches across, and they put that on the table and just told you that counts as a forest, so that you can have forests on the table straight away very easily. And it can be as simple as getting some felt or a different coloured cloth and doing the same thing at home. so that you can start learning some of those interactions and obviously start taking advantage of some of the cover rules as well. So there is really no end to the level of ease to access the game. I've even had a friend who was interested in playing, and he wanted to try out a new unit that he hadn't ever tried before, but didn't have any money to buy, and we didn't really have any miniatures that suited as a stand-in for those. So he went and got some army men and glued them down to some bases that we had spare, and then got on the computer and printed out some pictures of those miniatures, and then took them, cut them out, and glued them onto the army men. And we had these little plastic army men with what were essentially signs glued to the front of them so that we knew what miniatures those were. And look, it wasn't pretty, but it meant that he got to try out a unit without having to invest in that unit, the 60, 70, $80 or more, to see if he liked playing with it. And while I certainly wouldn't condone doing that for any length of time, it is an interesting way of getting around it and making it easy for your opponent to know what those units are, because there's nothing worse than playing a proxy game and all of a sudden discovering the Coke can on the table is actually a dreadnought that you didn't realize. By putting simple pictures on them, that worked really well, and we were able to play the game. So look, I think that covers most of the ways that you can access 40K and some of the key points to remember, I suppose, in summary, are start small, pick what you want to play rather than what you can afford to play, and you're better off saving that money and doing it right the first time than obviously double investing down the track, unless you really want that starter kit. The other, obviously, get involved using the board games and use those as a stepping stone into a full-blown game of 40K. And be creative with how you play the game. You know, there'd be nothing stopping you taking the idea I've just given you in terms of army men and some paper and trying out units before you buy them. And while, like I say, it's not an ideal solution long term, it's certainly one that can work. So I hope you found some ideas out of this on how you can get into 40K, and maybe if you've got someone who's been interested in getting into 40K in your local community that hasn't ever taken the plunge, maybe it's given you some ideas on how you can engage them and get them involved, and maybe that'll give you an opportunity to gain a new opponent across the table. So we'll call it there, and we'll be back to wrap up the episode. Right, so that's the end of episode one, and I hope you have enjoyed yourself. I always said that doing a podcast should be easy, but it's certainly been really different for me to do it by myself this time around. I'm very used to having a co-host to bounce ideas off of, so I hope I haven't rambled too much and bored you too much. Going forward, like I've mentioned earlier, there will be co-hosts joining me to discuss different topics, but for the time being, because it is episode one, I wanted to take the opportunity to just chat to you one-on-one. I do hope you got something out of it, and I look forward to hearing any comments or feedback you might have to give me, particularly in regards to the content, the format, just the sound quality. I've recently upgraded all of my hardware and software, so hopefully this comes across nice and clear. I hope you listen in for episode two, which will hopefully be in a fortnight's time. This has been Mike on the Objectives Secured podcast, The Briefing, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Objectives Secured podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, you can visit our website, objectivesecured.com.au. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/objectivesecured, or you can email us, obsec@optusnet.com.au. Thanks for listening.